Gracious Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sermon title this morning is Vengeance on the Midian. The text is Numbers 31, 1 to 11. And that text says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take vengeance for the children of Israel on the Midianites. Afterward you shall be gathered to your people. So Moses spoke to the people, saying, Arm some of yourselves for the war, and let them go against the Midianites and take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe, all the tribes of Israel, you shall send to the war. So there were recruited from the divisions of Israel 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to the war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the holy articles and the signal trumpet in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses. And they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, namely Eli, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. And the children of Israel took all the women of Midian captive with their little ones and took as spoil all the cattle, all the flocks, and the goods. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their forts. And they took all the spoil and the booty, both of man and beast." The proposition that I lay before you this morning is that the vindictive spirit is not for believers. We are to love each other, even love our enemies. Obedience to the new commandment is not something that unbelievers can adhere to, and some believers have a hard time with it. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." Now, this vindictiveness is one of the things that Paul spoke to the Corinthian church about early on in 1 Corinthians. He said to them, "There is utterly a fault among you." And what was that fault? Well, the fault was that the Corinthians were taking other believers, other members of the church, before the ungodly for adjudication. And Paul raises 2 questions in this regard. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Oh, boy. I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes here. Why do you not rather let yourself be defrauded? The answer to these questions is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we have sinful, selfish natures, and we don't want to be mistreated, especially if we can get some adjudication. Isn't that right? There are about 8 judge shows on the television now in the afternoon where people are trying to get adjudication. And some of the cases that are presented on television are just utterly ridiculous. Now, the 2 of the judges I like to look at is Judge Judy, because she don't take no stuff. I kind of like Judge Mathis, too. Some of the others I don't have too much patience with. But human vindictiveness is of Satan. And those of us who are Christians need to rise above it. We need to ask ourselves, how important is this? Someone has defrauded me out of $1,000 or $500 or $300 or so what? Why not let God vindicate you? Human vindictiveness wreaks havoc on those who are trying to get it, especially if they fail. So God says in His Word, you know, leave that to me. I'll take care of it. Now, in Matthew 6, we have the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Isn't that what we pray, the Lord's Prayer? And then when you finish with the Lord's Prayer and you come down to verses 14 and 15 in Matthew 6, God said very plainly, if you are not willing to forgive, you have no forgiveness. Oh boy. This is hard for some of us, I know. If someone has done you wrong, your propriety as a Christian is to forgive them. We read in our second scripture lesson this morning where Paul says in the doctrine of consecration, if your enemy hungers, give him something to eat. If he thirsts, give him something to drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, I want to read for you a section from Luke that speaks directly to this issue. The text is Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36, and I would urge you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says this, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you would want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Boy, oh boy. Looking at this text, you can kind of understand why some people can't sit under the preaching of the gospel very long. Because if you're going to preach the gospel and preach the whole counsel of God, you're going to preach things that people don't want to hear. And this is a passage here that a lot of people don't want to hear. I know that. But it is a part of the Word of God. It is as much a part of the Word of God as the passages that say God loves you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. The Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. When it comes to getting even, do we want to do that? Well, I think not. Now, beloved, I will confess to you this morning, it took me a long time to come to the point where I really, from a heartfelt perspective, could say thank you, Jesus, for this text. It took a while. And it's perhaps taking some of you a while. I'm going to give you this illustration again. I know you probably heard it before. But I preached on this Luke text some years ago. It was a number of years ago, maybe 20, 25 years ago. And there was a man in the congregation who was obviously uncomfortable. And after the service was over, he said, "Pastor, can I speak to you?" And I said, "Yes." So after we got the greetings all done and everything, he came into my office. And he said, "Pastor, you were saying this morning that we should forgive everyone who has offended us." He said, "But you don't know how I've been offended." So my answer to him was, "I don't care. The Bible says you have to forgive." He said, "Oh, but you don't know." I said, "Look, we're either going to adhere to the Bible everywhere or we're not going to adhere to it anywhere. Now, if God says, if you forgive, you have forgiveness. If you don't forgive, you don't have forgiveness. What are you going to do? What can anyone possibly do to me worse than what I've done to God? If God is willing to forgive me, why am I not willing to forgive those who offend me? No matter what they do." I was in, this happened to me last Christmas. I was in one of the major department stores. I was standing in line to get my merchandise checked out. And the line was such that no one could pass through. It was kind of tight. So a man wanted to get through, and I backed up. And when I backed up, I stepped on a lady's toe that was behind me. And that woman would have killed me if she could have. She was furious. I apologized. I said, "Well, I made a mistake. I didn't know that you were standing that close to me." The man wanted to get by, and I apologized for any offense that I did. She would not acknowledge my apology or any. She was just angry, and it was just in her face. And I thought, this woman is hurting herself. She's not hurting me. She's hurting herself by being so angry over a simple mistake like that. Well, that's the way it is. Vengeance is of Satan. As Christians, we are to love one another, and we are to love our enemies. Our text today is a case wherein God is telling Israel to take vengeance. Now, when God says take vengeance, it's okay to do it, because that's what God intends for us to do. God gave clear instructions to Moses, take vengeance on Midian. I want you to vindicate yourself on these Midianites because they did something that was terrible. Although vengeance belongs to God exclusively, he does sometimes use people to get vengeance or to vindicate a wrong or to right a wrong, and especially in the church. It's called church discipline. Nobody wants to talk about church discipline. But the Bible says that if you have someone who is professing faith in Christ who offends you, go to them and try to get it straight. If you can't get it straightened out with them, you take a witness or two with you and you try to get it straight. If that doesn't work, the scripture says, Tell it to the church. And when you tell it to the church, what that means is that the church should get actively involved in trying to get that situation reconciled. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the church, "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." That's authority given to the church by the Lord Jesus Christ for church discipline. One of the reasons that the church is so messed up today is because churches and preachers and officers in churches don't dare discipline anyone. Well, now, that's because we have allowed the secular to come into the church. Instead of the church influencing the world, the world is influencing the church. Now, let me give you an example. I don't know if any of you are involved in this. In fact, I don't know if anyone in this church is involved in this, but today it's vogue for men and women to live together outside of marriage. What does the Bible say about that? The Bible says the marriage bed alone is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That's God's judgment, not mine. Now, if we find out that someone is a member of this church and living with someone to whom they're not married is called shacking, we're going to do something about it. We're going to try to get you to stop. And if you refuse to stop, after a reasonable length of time and a couple of admonitions, we're going to discipline you. We're going to do that. Now, there are a lot of people in this community know that about this church. This church is very well known in this community. Very well known. There are a lot of people who just won't come here because they know the gospel is preached here. There are a lot of other people who won't come here for a lot of other reasons. And I know that. But beloved, nowhere in the Bible can you show me a text where God charges me as a minister of the gospel to be successful the way the world measures success. Nowhere. In fact, the Bible says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, we start applying modern marketing methods to the church for church growth. What you have is another worldly organization. And in this worldly organization, you don't want to do anything that offends people. I was talking to a preacher some time ago about the heinous sin of abortion. And his remark to me was, "I don't touch that." Why not? Well, he don't touch it because he knows he's got people in his congregation who've been involved in it. And that's why he don't touch it. But he's going to have to, in fact, he has already, face the judgment throne of Christ. And we are responsible to preach the whole counsel of God. And God said to Moses, because you did not honor me at the waters of Meribah, you're not going into the promised land, but I want you to direct Israel to take vengeance for Israel on the Midianites. Now, interestingly, if you look at this text, it says, first of all, that I want take vengeance on Midian for the children of Israel. The children of Israel lost 24,000 people because of the adulterous women from Midian coming into the camp. God plagued the camp. Take vengeance on Midian for Israel. Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people. In other words, after this happens, you're going to die. Then he says, Moses spoke to the people saying, arm yourselves for war and let them go against the Midianites and take vengeance for the Lord. Isn't that interesting? First of all, take vengeance for Israel, but you need to know that I'm giving you permission to take vengeance for Israel because it's of me. It's the Lord's vengeance. It's the Lord's vengeance on Midian. And why was the Lord so down on Midian? Well, Balak, the king of Midian, sent to Balaam for Balaam to come and curse Israel. He knew that Israel was being blessed of God. People in the world know that Christians are being blessed of God, and yet they do everything that they can do to give us a hard time. Don't you know God is going to vindicate us? God is going to vindicate. If you are really a Christian, people in the world will give you a hard time sometimes just because they can. Now, what are we supposed to do? Lord, just let me get them a little bit. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray for them. And we're supposed to be kindly affectionate to them. And the scripture says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Oh boy. This is what the Christian life is all about. And this is why there's so many people who come close but never really commit their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if I'm committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, I have to be obedient here. Those who have done us wrong are doing us wrong will eventually pay for their error. We are to be patient. We are to be kind. We are to be loving. That's the mark of a true Christian. How do I know I'm saved? Well, you know you're saved if you're willing to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling you here, vengeance belongs to God, not you. That's what he says. Now, those who wait on the Lord, the Bible says, will renew their strength. Almighty God is all-knowing and all-powerful, and therefore, he can take vengeance much better than we can. We want to get them just a little bit, but God will get them completely. God knows what he's doing. We look at this text, we can see God knows what he's doing. God was not letting Balaam and Balak get away with anything. But it does look like that if we read the text. We read the text, we don't see any reprisal immediately on Balaam and Balak. Balaam went home, Balak went about his business, everything looked like it was cool. But what happened? God told Moses, you take vengeance on Midian for Israel, and it's my vengeance. Now, it was a relatively small contingent of the army that went against Midian, which means that if Israel had decided to take vengeance, they could have taken vengeance, no problem. But they were willing to wait on the Lord. And that's what we need to do. We need to be willing to wait on the Lord. You have some problem, you have some crisis, you take that crisis and that prayer, your prayer to the Lord, and be willing to wait on the Lord. You know, sometimes we pray and want an answer yesterday, or at best today. It is not recorded in the scriptures that Israel lost a single man. Sometimes it's good to see what the scriptures don't say. There isn't anything here about Israel losing anyone. They only sent 12,000 people against Midian. And the Midianites were deeply concerned when Israel came up out of Egypt because they knew that God was going to give them that land. Now, 1,000 from each tribe was not many because Israel had over 600,000 fighting men. So 1,000 from each tribe was like nothing. God can give you the victory. And God will give you the victory if you really trust him. But we have to trust him. We have to be willing to take wrong. We have to be willing to be defrauded. How many of us have actually come to grips with this truth? Somebody's done me wrong. Okay? I'm going to take them to court. Well, when you take them to court, you may have to wait 2 or 3 years because the court system is so backed up that you can't get a hearing. But wouldn't it be better just to let it go sometimes? Just let it go. You know, my friend stole my cell phone and ran up a $500 bill on my cell phone. Well, take the cell phone back. Do everything you can do to get it back or cancel it or do whatever and pay the $500. Pastor, are you crazy? No, I'm not crazy. I'm just telling you how to handle it. The Lord is able to take care of that person who defrauded you. The Lord is able to vindicate you much better than you can vindicate yourself. The Lord didn't let Balaam get away with anything. It says in our text that Balaam also was killed by the sword of Israel. And why was he killed by the sword of Israel? Because he tried to curse Israel when he knew that God was blessing Israel. The princes came to him from Balak, and he said, well, just wait here. Let me see what the Lord has to say. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, no, don't go with them. Balak sent some more emissaries who were higher in office than the first group that he sent. Well, you go to bed here and I'll see what the Lord has to say. The Lord already said what he had to say. So the Lord said, go ahead. You see, but it was the first word that he should have paid attention to. And the Lord had his donkey to speak to him on the way to forbid the madness of the prophet. Now, Balaam, the son of Beor, was killed with the sword of Israel because he tried to do harm to Israel. Interestingly, Moses and the officers of Israel did not try to do any harm to him. They were following the principle that's laid out in the scriptures that we are to be loving and we are to be forgiving and we are not to be vindictive. And beloved, I know this is hard. I know it's hard. But look at what happened when Moses sinned against God in the wilderness. God told him, you're not going into the promised land. So Moses asked God to let him go, and God said no. Paul was taken up to the third heaven, got a thorn in the flesh so he wouldn't talk about what he saw. And he besought the Lord 3 times about the thorn in the flesh. God said no. Paul said, then your grace is sufficient. God's grace ought to be sufficient when we are wronged by someone. God's grace ought to be sufficient. And it would be so notable in the world for us to forgive someone who deliberately did us wrong until who knows what God will do with that witness. Who knows? The scripture says, if you give to him, you give some food to him who is hungry and some water to him who is thirsty, you're heaping coals of fire on his head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord, I will repay. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. The Christian goal is to love the brethren and also love our enemies. Now, it just so happened in this instance here where God allowed Israel to vindicate itself or take vengeance, they messed up because they brought the women back. And Moses was angry about that. Kill everybody. Kill all the boy babies. You kill all of the women who have known a man. Because those were the women that caused the 24,000 in Israel to die. Those were loose, morally decadent women. And Balaam could not curse Israel because God forbade him to do so. So he told Balak what to do. Send your women into the camp. And that's what happened. So here, God is taking vengeance not only on Midian for what they did, but he's taking vengeance on the prophet also. Beloved, God is able to vindicate you in a way over and above anything you can imagine. So why not leave vengeance to God? That's our message this morning. And I pray to God that he would give us all the grace that we need to forgive those who trespass against us, just as we want the Lord to forgive us. Amen. Our Father and our God, you know our hearts, and you know that we have a tendency to be vindictive. And this is especially true in families where the marriage breaks down. And we just ask, Lord, that it might be pleasing in your sight to help us to think about what we've heard this morning and do everything that we can do to apply it in our lives. For you say that vengeance belongs to you. Help us, Lord, to be patient. Help us to wait on you. Help us truly to trust in you with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge you so that you will direct our paths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.